Welcome everybody to our 4 p.m. work meeting for the Morgan County School District Board. We're really happy that you're here and happy to welcome our principals from our elementary schools. And Principal Wilkinson will be starting us off today with some Acadian's introduction and a little bit of help and training for us. This kind of came about after we went to the leadership training and were told, you know, that our board really should be looking at data every month in some way, shape, or form. And so we're going to. We'll jump into it, and especially when we have our work meetings, which we will have a little more frequently in the 2026 year, we'll be diving into some data. So thank you, Trina, for being here, and I am just going to turn the time over to you, and we're ready to roll.
All right, well, first, I'm super excited because I'm kind of a data nerd, and I just appreciate you taking the time to learn where we play, right? Like, and the things that we're accountable for. So if you all should have your Acadience login. If you'll get to your login screen, except for Scott, sorry, I made one for you. But I can.
Okay.
Do you want me to? If you'll just go ahead and log in to that, you should come to a screen that looks like this. Let me know if you're not out there.
Hey, Mandy. You might want to go grab some bread and jam before you get heavy into our work here, so you have a little snack.
He's coming around. That's good service. Thank you, sir.
Where's the butter?
Come on.
Hi.
Stop. Amazing. Okay, well, you guys are getting to there. I'm just going to make Scott. The nice thing about this is you guys are all just viewers, so you can play in here and not mess anything up, no matter what you click on or anything like that. So before we get started, I want to just kind of explain this right here, the red, yellow, green, and blue, what that means as far as we look at that and read it. Red is your students are below the benchmark level. Yellow, or well below the benchmark level. Yellow is they're below the benchmark level. Green is they are at benchmark, and blue is they're well above benchmark. And the paper that I've given you is what we give to parents at Morgan Elementary School. I think that you also, I don't know if you distribute too, I know that we could just kind of build this ourselves. So a student that scores in the red in reading, math is very similar, has a 10 to 20% chance likelihood of meeting future benchmarks. If they're in the yellow, they have a 40 to 60% chance. In the green, that's at benchmark, is 70 to 85. And if they're in that blue range, they have a 90 to 99% likelihood of meeting future benchmarks as they're reading, as they're moving forward. The state's goal, stated goal in legislature, is that by 2027, 70% of the state's third grade will be reading on grade level. So reading on grade level for all basic purposes is in the blue. The third graders will be in that, 70% of our third graders will be in that blue range. It's not at benchmark.
By what year, Trina?
2027. Yeah. They have moved from, I think when they started that goal, they were at probably 40%. And based on like all the letters training and all of that, they're up close to 60. They're not even at 60 yet with that. So we can see where our students are with that. This platform, you can see, like we're currently on kindergarten. This is district data, so we have 150 kindergartners in the district. If you hover over that, like you can do this on your own screen, if you hover over that little band above the arch, you can see that we have 69% of our kindergartners, as they came into kindergarten, were testing at or above benchmark. And then if you want to just see specifically blue, just move it down to blue, we have 51%. Conversely with that, if you come down here, you can see that we have 31% that are below or well below benchmark that we need to work to move up into a different grade band or color band, whether that's moving red to yellow or red to ideally green or blue. That's just where our kindergartners came in. But if you click up here, you can see different grades. Again, we're at district data. So this is our first grade. Our kindergarten tested amazing, leaving kindergarten at the end of last year. So first grade, this data looks really good. You can just move up through the grades and see where they are with that. Third grade, fourth grade. We don't really test fifth and sixth grade. It's on there because we do have accounts for those, but the schools only use those for a very select few students. So I just didn't even, you might have district view of that, but I didn't. You might have three students in there.
On the beginning of year, are you testing them for where you expect them to be at the end of year, or
no,
you're
this is
adjusting
like,
it to where they should be
right
at the beginning of the year?
So yeah, so this like, is the, yeah.
It's not like they're going to start out here and then move up. It's calibrated.
Right, yeah, for growth, yeah. If you come up here in the left-hand corner where it says reading, if you click on that, you can change it to our Acadience math scores. So if you'll click on that, I'm currently looking at fourth grade district data with that. We have 231. This is also, when Scott gives you numbers, here's a really fast way to get numbers, right? We have 231 fourth graders in the district that took the Acadience test, and you can see, again, where they are with that. All the way back to, again, you can just go through whatever grade you would like to look at with that. Again, you have 231 fourth graders and 140 kindergartners in the district. So there's your...
Okay, so Trina, I have a question for you. So when you're looking at beginning of the year assessments, it kind of helps to look and see where they were at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. So is there a way to do that on
absolutely
here?
If you come, well, first, let me show you one more thing.
Okay.
So each of these tests is made up of different like subtests, and then they get a composite score. I'm going to go back to reading over here just because reading is such a huge focus in our schools. And these composite tests right here, so for example, kindergarten, all of these subtests eventually make up their composite tests. But I'm going to specifically choose second grade. And I'm going to come over here where it says reading composite score. And I'm going to come down here where it says accuracy. And so I can see where our students as a district were with accuracy. We had 42 students who were above grade level or above benchmark. 31% were at benchmark. We have a very specific goal, and we have for several years with our second grade, that their accuracy What we find is that by the end of the year, this green and this blue has gotten smaller rather than growing bigger or staying the same. And then our red and yellow areas have gotten bigger. So we're not maintaining what we start with. We're losing ground on that. It is an extremely challenging area for those students and for those teachers. So we've built a goal around that they at least maintain the number that they start with by the end of the year. So that's kind of where we start playing, as we can pull down these subtests and we can see where we're really struggling in that. So I'm gonna come back to composite. Grade levels. So there's a section down here, if you get playing, effectiveness of instructional support. There will be no data in this area until we've done middle of year testing. We can start doing middle of year testing December 1st, and we have to have it completed by January 31st. 31. Once you see that data, when we talk growth, when we say that we had, like Trina started off in yellow, if instruction is effective, then ideally she's moved into green. We can see the number of students who started in a color band and move to another one or back and forth. So at middle of year, you'll see this effectiveness of instructional support, and I believe we're coming back in February, is that right, Dr.?
Correct.
Yeah. We're coming back in February. We'll explain what that looks like, and ideally, we'll be able to show you that our red and yellows are getting smaller, our green and blues are growing. So don't worry about that effectiveness of instructional support if you're playing in there. Okay. Any questions while we're on this page? I'm going to get to
that. I don't have a question, but just kind of a comment. You probably for sure know this, but I don't know, like the rest of board members. As the, like the color bands, like for a cadence reading, for a student to be a green or a blue, like that bar changes. So like I have students in my class right now that might be a blue, but they're borderline, but because like middle of the year, now they have to get this to get a blue. Sometimes they slide back, even though they're still making progress, they're not in that next.
They're not making typical or above typical progress.
Growth, yeah.
Yeah.
And Trina, you said the state will be requiring 70%
to be in this blue band.
They want. Okay, that's what I wanted to ask. Does that include green and blue or just blue?
Just blue.
That's
blue.
A big
so
jump.
Green is benchmark. Mm-hmm. Blue is reading on grade level.
Okay.
So if you
look here, something we need to remember.
Right. So at benchmark, if you just go over into what it means, students in this score range are likely to achieve future reading benchmarks as the odds are in their favor. The further above benchmark, better the odds. So really,
okay,
you only have an 85, like your best chance is 85%.
So benchmark does not equal grade level.
Yeah, benchmark does not equal reading on grade level.
Like, and
I love
Lane
Space,
yeah.
Right?
I mean,
because
just to listen
that was
to that.
A huge yeah. paradigm shift for our uh-huh. teachers when mm-hmm. we explained that to them. Yeah. Okay. So if you will come up to here where it says My District, if you'll click on My District, and let's click on Students right here, where it says Students. We can see every student in the entire district. Right now it has all of the students and all of the grades, and we're doing all benchmark periods. Like if it was May, the end of May, we could do beginning, middle, and end of year, but right now it just has this year's beginning of year scores. But to answer Laylene's question, if we come over here where you're gonna see percentile, and then it has Lexile, but then it's this next one's little hamburger right here where it says select student view, and it has this green drop down arrow. If you'll click on that, if you'll come to historical benchmark and click on that. So this is our district. You can see here's our 150 kindergartners from last year. This is the year before, this is last year's kindergartners, this year's first graders. You can see that when they left kindergarten as a district, I think I shared this with you, we only had 8 and 3. We had 11 students not at benchmark leaving kindergarten last year. Just a lot of shifts. And you can see this blue band growing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go down, we have 23, 24, 22, 23.
Oh, okay.
You can actually, I want to say it's right here, filter, right to the side. I can add in more years if you wanted to add in more years. There's not going to be anything for 2020, 2021 because of COVID. We didn't test, like there won't be final year data, but there should be data in there for all those other years. So you can see what that looks like. So the way we have it marked right now, you can see each grade, what they've done with that. And again, if you hover right here, you can see specific things. If you...
Okay, so where are you hovering?
Just right...
Oh, on the... Okay,
yeah,
I see.
Just right there. Yeah, you can see the percentages of okay. figures mm-hmm. it for you. This is really fun. I'm going to move up here where it says reading, and I'm going to switch it to math. This is just bragging on our kindergarten teams. So we started a Cadence math in... I've got to get my mouse going the right direction. In 2021-22. So this was our kindergarten math scores in 2021-22. This is what I'm talking about, where you see that green and blue at the beginning of the year, and then you can see where it is at the end of the year. We had mm-hmm. slight panic, right? And so we just mm-hmm. looked at what those scores were, why those scores were that way. This is half-day kindergarten. The next year, they really turned that around. We lost like 35% right here. And right here, I think I'd only lost 8% within a year's time. They turned that around. And then you can just see how, just as they've addressed those deficits year after year, what that's turned into as they've moved along in our math. With that, if you're in math still, if you're just like me, if you're like off on your own and playing, that's totally fine. But if you come down here to fourth grade, this is an area where at our school we're specifically looking at, just because our as a district we're looking pretty good there. But you can see those numbers between 23-24 and 24-25, we didn't maintain, like what is the difference? Is it the cohort of kids? Is it a change in instruction? Is it a change in teaching teams? We just didn't see as much growth last year as we did in our previous years. It's still, there's lots of places to brag. We're still at 70% of our kids in math in fourth grade are at that blue, well above benchmark. There's lots of things to celebrate. We're just, especially, this has combined data. As we look at that at Morgan Elementary School, we're just kind of wondering why that dipped so much. Play with that there. You can also, if you come up, I'm going to come back to math or reading just because, again, I'm more familiar because I play in there daily. If you come back to your green arrow that's on the right side there, and if you come to benchmark overview, it will show you the subtests, how they did in each of the subtests on for kindergarten for just this year and first grade just this year, so that we can see where we need to grow. So going to, like, you can do it two different ways, but you can see the entire school at one time that way. Questions so far?
Yeah, I'm like, where are you seeing what those subtests are?
It's right here. It says first sound fluency, phoneme segmentation fluency, which kindergarten doesn't start until...
Oh, I guess it's because I'm still on math.
Oh,
I'll go back to it.
And math has subtests too. So if I switch over to math, we'll have this, this math composite score. They have a beginning quantity discrimination. What students have with that is, let me see my
Oh,
test.
Now I see that. Okay.
Yeah. With that, what kindergartners have to do with the beginning quantity, they have two tiles that look like domino tiles, and so they have to say which number is more. They can't just point to it and say this one is more. they have to, like, if one is 3 and one is 8, they have to say 8. Like, they have to, it's subitizing, right? And then number identification, they just have 100 word numbers on a page, and it's anything from 1 to 99, and they have to just be able to identify those numbers out of order. And then the next one that they have is next number fluency. So if I say 13, they need to say 14. If I say 62, they need to be able to say 63. Ironically, they struggle with that one. They'll say, if you say 62, they say 61. They count backwards. They also, there's a missing number identification for first grade. That one, it starts off with just, it has 17, 18, blank, and 20. They have to be able to say 19. And then the next one might be 30, 35, blank, 45. They have to be able to count by fives, or there might be tens. And it might say 27, blank, 47, 57. They have to be able to say 37. Like just that, it's just those foundational math skills. So it's a challenging test. Do you remember, Ramona, what our math goal is for our students? It's first grade. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's missing number. And I don't know, it's a weird one. You would think that it's not what you think it is, but we have a goal for our students in math. And you think to look that up. Go ahead.
Are all the tests auditory?
For kindergarten and first grade, they are. For second, third, and fourth, and first grade has a written component. For second, third, and fourth, they are written tests, and they have to all be hand scored. One of them is strictly computation, so it's just your operations. So in kindergarten, it's addition and subtraction, or not kindergarten, first grade, addition and subtraction, same with second grade. Third grade, they add in multiplication and division in with the addition and subtraction. They have all four operations mixed throughout this paper. And then the second test is concepts and applications, so it's more word problems, think of it that way. If you come back up here to my district, click on that, maybe.
I guess I'm already there.
Mine says my district. I'm Morgan District now.
Maybe you'll have to. I don't know. If you have to click back on this A, if you ever need to get back to your dashboard, just click on the A right there. But if you'll click on my district when you get to there, are you guys to a screen that mirrors looks like mine?
Mm-hmm.
You can choose a specific school. Again, Morgan Middle and Mountain Green Middle aren't going to have anything. Identification.
That's kindergarten. Okay. Advanced quantity
discrimination. Okay. Same thing. Oh, there we go.
Now I did it.
You got it?
I just had to hit my district like
3 times. That's what I was going to say. Mine didn't want to do it either. So if you click on my school.
Wait, why did you say there's not anything for Mountain Green Middle and Morgan Middle?
It's not mandatory for them to take the test. It's only K through 3. What's that? It's only K through 3 that reports to the state. If a district required it, that's one thing. Mountain Green Middle and Morgan Middle, they use it for, you can see that there's a few kids that have taken it. It's some of their resource kiddos that they use for progress monitoring. They use it as a progress monitoring, but it's not.
But do you guys have your fourth graders take it?
We do, yeah, for the school. So I'm gonna click on Morgan School. This is an error within ALO system that we don't have teacher names there, but ideally this would be teachers' names. But if you wanted to go by teacher, you can see, so we have anybody that has an ID number under it, that's their Cactus number, they are an actual classroom teacher. These others are our aides that are testing so that they have an account, and you should show up in there somewhere too. See, Gaylene's right there. So if you wanted to check and see how a class is doing. But again, if we just went with students, it'll do it by, I can do just kindergarten classes, I can do all of the classes, I can either do all or one, right? You can't do first and second. You can also, I'm in first grade, I'm at beginning of year. If I click to the right after year, I can click on just students who are in the red. And then I can see how many students are at Morgan Elementary School in first grade who are testing well below benchmark.
Okay, so you're under students. Back up and show that one to me again, please.
I'm under students.
Okay.
And then just, you can choose a grade if you want, just choose any grade.
Okay.
And then I just click to, let me get back to.
But we have to choose a grade on that difference. Oh no, there they are, right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me get back, I'm gonna. Out to the side, I don't know. Oh, right here, beginning of year. Where it says beginning of the year, there's those, that little filter to the right after a year.
Okay.
So I just clicked on that. If you click on that, then you'll have this, these little, they call them pill boxes, the little pill boxes with red, yellow, green, and blue. So if you click, fill in one of those boxes out to the side, you can see exactly which students are testing in that range.
And I'm clicking on the pill box to do that?
No, there's a little box to the left of it.
Oh, that one I can barely see. Now I see it.
Yeah, it's really blends in with
her. Okay. Oh.
This out to the side right here that you see on the far right hand, this is, so we're just going to look at our little friend Silas here at this, the beginning. His beginning of the year composite was 43, and that put him in a blue. As board member Therese was saying, it accounts for growth, right? Like, he can't stay at composite 43. That would show that he hasn't made any growth. His goal to stay blue at the end of the year, he needs to have a composite score of 134. I can't read it from here. But that's where the goal would be for him to stay in that band. And if you want to get off of, like, you don't want to have that anymore, just come back to your little filter box and click on that again. And I need to unmark.
The math one especially is tricky because they have some foundational skills, but like when they take the fifth grade math cadence for me, I have students in tears because they think, I'm like, just do your best. But it's a fifth grade test and I haven't taught them any fifth grade math. So by the time we take the middle of the year, they're like, oh, I know how to do this now.
We let our students know that this is this same test at the beginning. It's not the same questions, but the same type. Question number 9 is always going to be a fraction question for fourth graders, right? I'm just off the top of my head. Like, it doesn't matter if it's the beginning of the year test, middle of year, or progress monitoring test, number 9 is always this type of question. Or on computation, number 18 might always be a double digit by double digit addition problem. So it helps when you're, like, this kid has consistently missed number 18. Every time we do it, we know that they're struggling with double digit by double digit addition. I think those are the areas you will want to play in. L is Lexile level. If we wanted to show a student's Lexile level is kind of the reading. How would I want to say that? The complex text that they're capable of reading. So like our little friend here, she has a really low Lexile level. That tells me I need to give her something that's really more CBC words, as opposed to a student who's up here. With a higher Lexile level, they can handle something with more complex sentence structure, maybe a few multi-syllable words. This is all students, but these are kindergartners. So maybe they can handle a vowel consonant E or some vowel teams in their reading currently. I usually just keep it on the N. I like I said, you cannot mess it up because you can't change anything in there.
I noticed we're just the little eyeball we get to watch.
Yeah, you get to, you can view anything, you can play in there anytime. You can see who's tested. I'm still at Morgan Elementary School. Again, if I click on one of these, it's a specific teacher. You guys won't have an idea who's, which teacher that is. I know just because, I'm like, oh, I know what teacher this is, just because those kids are familiar with her class. These numbers right here, that tells you what the benchmark is for the beginning of the year. This is below benchmark, at benchmark, above benchmark, so you can see what those areas are. Again, if you want to see for a specific class, if you come over here to the left where it says reading composite score, I can see how her class is doing in accuracy, how they started the year in accuracy. That kind of gives me a little bit of, I can see, did I have any red students in accuracy? She only had one student who was below that benchmark level at accuracy. The way the teachers look at that is, I know this student has some decoding struggles. I need to get them specific help to, where are they breaking down for that decoding struggle? You can also, on this one, you can choose more than one. So now I can see who's below and well below in that class on just accuracy. You can have a student that is maybe green, or not usually blue, but they're in green, but they're below level in one of these sub areas, and they're the students that we're likely going to lose by the end of the year just because we haven't addressed those specific skill gaps.
So Trina, one more question. Is it just a formula, like you'll look at some of these kids that are maybe in red or maybe in yellow,
oh,
and you go over to their goal and it has, you know, it has a number for their goal. Is that a formula that determines that?
So I'm gonna, you should be, I don't think you can change this, but you can't. So I'm gonna click on this student's goal right here, and it's gonna open up this screen right here. The program has a formula that already like predetermines that for the student. How can we get the student from yellow into at least moving out of that?
Okay.
A teacher is able to move this. Like if I said that this student is able to read 157 words correct per minute, that would, like, I think that that's a likely goal. But if I look at everything else that they're struggling with, maybe I'm gonna wanna keep it where it was. So mm-hmm. you can move, you could, a teacher can set those.
The teachers can set it.
Uh-huh. So Gillian will know what I'm referencing. At Morgan Elementary School, we've set up a system where every Monday, every fourth grader reads a passage for just 1 minute. They have it at the bottom of their sheet. It says, my words correct per minute goal is this. My accuracy goal is this. That's what they're aiming for. Those students know that, and they're tracking it throughout the entire year. So the students know this number right here and this number right here. They even know their retell number, because we have some kids, students who are, when they retell the story, it's, now tell me everything you can remember about the story you just read, and it's 10 words. And so that tells us they're really not comprehending. Or they might be like my offspring who said, did you not listen to what I just read? Because I read the story. So, right, it's just, is the attitude is that they really can't comprehend. So those students, if when you click on this, can you see that screen? Are you able to open that up at all? If you click on these little, off to the far right under goal, are you able to see anything?
I can't see where your arrow was. Sorry.
I can, yeah, I found goal,
yeah.
And...
if you click on, so I'm on the far right, Angie.
Okay, no,
just
got
click
it.
On the
yeah, if you click on that little
circle.
Pill, are you able to, does it
yeah.
open up
mm-hmm.
to the screen?
Yep.
Okay, so mm-hmm. I don't think you guys can change that. Please don't if you can. I'll cry. but yeah, so
we
that's
can.
How those goals are set.
Yeah.
And back to Laylene's question, there's also a very specific algorithm of how they get the composite score. So words per minute is straight words per minute. The accuracy is translated into 100% accuracy is 120 points towards their composite score, and then it goes down by 8 points until it reaches, it doesn't zero out until it's like only 85 points. So if a student's reading below 82 or 83% accuracy, they get 0 points towards their composite. Retell is multiplied by 2. And then on third and fourth grade, they do a test called MAZE. what that is there's a sentence, and in the middle of that sentence, there's a box, and it has a choice of three words that students can choose to complete the sentence. So they have to use context clues, their reading comprehension skills. That score is multiplied by 4 and put into their composite. So the MAE score gives us a really good idea of fluency, comprehension, context clues. It's a 3-minute test, and that's a computer-based test.
Just one more thing. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Hannah.
No, you're good.
Been
I love
asking
it.
A lot, but just kind of as you wrap up, thinking about the board's best use of this, because, I mean, you come and you present those goals,
right.
Those early childhood goals and the things that we've done for years and years. What do you recommend if we only have time to look at this much? What should we be looking at?
I would be on probably, again, when we get more scores in there, like middle of year, it would be your dashboard, just because you can immediately see beginning of year, and then we'll have middle of year, and you can immediately see, is this in kindergarten for my district, is that blue and green growing and the yellow and red decreasing? That would, and you can do it by grades. You can see that, you know, what is it that I need to see right there? The other thing that if you really wanted to play is to come back to my district, and you have to be on students to get the drop down that you need. But this historical benchmark, I think it tells a lot of great stories. There's always a story behind every individual number, but you can see the trends within the district, and you can follow those grades. Like you can see this kindergarten, and then you see where they were, first graders, second graders, third graders. You can kind of see how those numbers hold. So those are the two places that if I had to really look, I'd look at those historical benchmarks. When we come back in February, seeing that effectiveness of instruction, I think will be interesting to see how we're hitting that. And you can, remember too, you can come back to schools and you can choose a specific school. It's super interesting because oftentimes Mountain Greens Elementary carries Mountain Greens kindergarten carries our kindergarten, like they score high where we're kind of lower, and in second grade it flops, and then like 2 years later it flops again, and it's our kindergarten who's lifting their kindergarten. There's really not a specific pattern there. It's fascinating to watch, but the scores are often fairly similar. But that's also another, you can, again, you have to be on students to get that historical view. If you just want the historical view, again, I'm at Mountain Green School, so you can see they had phenomenal, they only had 2 little kiddos that weren't at or above benchmark last year, so it's phenomenal. So, other questions?
As the state and the nation really are moving more towards test results data, and that's, you know, we're basing everything off of test scores. Do you see that as being an accurate representation of your students' understanding and learning, and or do you see that as the best practice?
They've got to get a snapshot somehow. Mm-hmm. This is what's called a screener. So if you use it in medical terms, like I go to the doctor and I have a screener, and if I'm these kiddos down here, I need to do an additional test to find out what's wrong with my heart because I'm dying on the, you know, put me on the treadmill, see where it is, I'm breaking down. So I think in some ways, I don't know how else you get that snapshot. At the same time, as you well know, right, so much goes into teachers panic, is that a good word?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Right,
that's
because
kind of
they're
what
like,
I'm
this is... Right.
You funnel all your efforts into just making sure
right.
these test scores do exactly what we need
right.
them to do.
Or
we miss out on the broader learning experience sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. I think that they're more, I know this kid can read better, and this snapshot on this day is not accurate because I've seen them do this all
along.
Yeah,
or they just don't have to be a good test taker.
Right, yeah. That's why kind of where we're doing that test every week.
Mm-hmm.
They test with a whole bunch of different people. Sometimes it's a parent, sometimes it's an aide. They're they're just, it's just, oh, you're just checking. It's just a, like, we, there should be no surprises when that test comes through, what that looks like. I think that I have more heartburn with, say, the standardized rice test. Like, I really have heartburn with that one. At the same time, I don't know how we can have, like, I don't know a better way for accountability,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think everything has to be taken with a grain of salt. But trends, like, you can definitely see trends. I think that's where we look.
Well, the data is incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
I just wondered, on the back end, if you felt like it was an accurate picture of your actual students.
For the most part, yeah. Like, we've, at Morgan Elementary, even when Mr. Jensen was principal, like, really looking at that data helped us change systems in a lot of ways, get rid of some false perceptions of how well we're doing, because teachers often are like, no, they're doing good, they're doing good. They started at 45 words and now they're reading 52. Well, that's good, because they should be reading more. They should be up at 70 something, you know what I mean? Like, so it's, mm-hmm. it's forced us, like, and these graphs are so readable, so friendly. When you're on this view too, if I hover over the blue, I immediately can see all of those students that were in that band, or in the green, I can see one of those.
Do you, besides, like, just the progress monitoring and the actual beginning of the year, middle of the year, do you guys do anything else as far as, like, buddy reading or anything like that?
Oh, at our, yeah, they do dyad reading. They have,
like, I mean, cross grades, I guess, because, mm-hmm. like, you know, we do that, and our second grader scores actually increased quite a bit, and like,
yeah.
they're attributing that they want to continue because they think that helped
yeah.
their scores.
Yeah, so
out.
They do dyad. They also do, like, our second grade's often in kindergarten. Sometimes our fourth grade's down in kindergarten out there. A lot of cross pollination, I guess. Yeah, and I think that Ramona would have the same. Thanks.
Any other questions?
Thanks
Thank you.
For your time.
Thanks so
yeah,
much
you.
For being
that
here.
That was awesome.
If you have
thank
questions
you.
As you're playing with it, call or whatever, we'll happily.
We know where you live.
Yeah, you know where I live.
At the school, of course. Thanks so much. Okay, so let's just jump right then into a little bit of our board training. And of course we're going to start out with those areas of our strategic plan. And the first one to shout out one area doesn't get called on. So.
Safety. I was going to say safety.
Safety.
Learning and engagement.
Learning, engagement, safety,
that's
connection.
She said connection.
Okay. There's one more S.
Support.
Right?
No.
Support.
I said
okay.
I
so good job. And, you know, one of my favorite things now is when we visit schools and you see that big poster there with our strategic plan, but then you visit and you visit with the principal and you're like, wow, that's connection on steroids right there. That is learning and engagement. And it's, I don't know, it's just been fun for me to see that. I think we really have assimilated that into our district, and I think that's just a positive. Okay, so we're also going to do one little reminder of one of the things from Robert's Rules that I wanted to remind you that any member can use at any time during the meeting. When you think something wasn't done according to procedure by another board member, by the chair, and anybody know what I'm talking about just off the top of your head? Okay, that's point of order. And it can also be used as a point of question, of information, point of information. Let's say somebody's just talking about something, and you're like, whoa, wait, I've got to have clarification. You can jump in with point of information. So it can be used either way. But when it is a point of order, I kind of like to liken that to, well, if there's a foul in a game, you know, the ref blows the whistle and the play all stops until that's taken care of. And so that is true in our meeting as well. If you see something that you know that a procedure wasn't followed, you just say point of order and everything stops, and you bring that to the chair's attention, you know, what that foul, if you will, was. And then the chair either rules on that, or the chair can say, well, you know, I think this would best be left up to the whole group, so we'll vote on it. So those are the two ways the point of order can be handled. The chair just says, oh, you're right. Member Priest had three turns in a row to talk, and I have something I wanted to say, and I didn't get to say it. And so you say point of order, and you remind the chair of what it was, and then the chair will either say, oh, yeah, that's right, and that, you know, my bad. Member Priest, would you mind if Member Brooks has a turn to speak, and then we'll come back to you. Yeah. So that's just a little example. Do you have any questions on that? Point of information would be when you have a question that is germane to the discussion. I mean, it just can't be an out-of-the-blue question that stops things, because point of order or point of information just kind of does put a halt on whatever's going on, just like a ref blowing a whistle would. Any questions or comments about?
I have a question, and maybe Superintendent Jensen remembers this. Down at the, I can't remember what the meeting was called, where we were kind of picking our legislative priorities. It wasn't JLC, what was it? Like getting off topic, which one's that?
Yeah, it's Frisbee
Votes.
Yeah.
It is JLC.
Isn't
it JLC? Nope.
No, it was actually.
I know the one you're talking about. Okay, it's fun.
But there was lots of votes taken, and people would speak, but they'd kind of go off on a tangent on something else. Mm. So bringing it back to discussion, was it the same as point of order, or is there something a different?
Yeah, it was the same. You hear that a lot down there.
Okay.
You get a lot.
I couldn't remember if there was a different thing but related specifically to like kind of like off-topic stuff, or?
You should know. I'm
Are you mm-hmm. talking about discussing an item that's going to be voted on?
No, that one specifically, we're coming up with like a theme statement, and they'll sit and argue about the syntax, you know, of a comma or a period, or and you just go, oh.
Delegate assembly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Delegate assembly.
Yeah, and it's, yeah. You do.
But there was
that's actually a really good training for Robert's Rules, because
yeah,
that's constantly getting questions, because it's not just the point of order, but they're constantly doing an amendment to an amendment to an amendment.
I was like, wait, we gotta,
what's happening?
We gotta vote on this one. Like, don't get out of here. Where are we going? Don't add this yet, because we're still talking.
Exactly.
Then you can raise your hand and call to a vote.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've done that before down there, joint legislative. They just keep going on about all that stuff. Finally, I just, you know, just raise that.
Like playing poker.
And that's called for the question.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, that's the term that a board member can use if you think our discussion has gone on way too long. Hey, thank you. I call for the question.
How are you doing?
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay. So one, we never get to everything on my list, because Andrea emailed me some things that she wanted to kind of talk about, and we'll go through as many of those as we can tonight. But one other thing that I had that's a carryover from our last work meeting, I hope everybody had a minute even to look up some of that information on the Dignity Index. Does anybody have any thoughts or any comments on that? That was from our last work meeting that I just gave you the information. So I'm just going to tell you my thoughts and why I even put that in a board training. I just feel like as leaders in our school district, it is our obligation to provide to the best of our abilities operations that stay in those high numbers of the dignity index scale, if you looked at that. Because I feel like if we model respectful discussion and conflict resolution, then we can expect that from our administrators, our staffs, our patrons, as if we are modeling that, and I think we have every right to expect that. I understand we can't fix everything or find solutions that satisfies everybody, but we certainly can be the model for dignified and respectful discussion. So that was what that was all about. And then one of the questions that came up were, on your school visits, what are things that other board members do when you go to do your school visit? What are those important things? And I even thought about, because I think this probably for new board members is probably more of a thing than seasoned board members, because it's new and you haven't done it. So if it would be helpful to even have to put in, because we will be doing revisions to our board handbook, would it be helpful to put a little suggestions and guidelines for school visits?
I think so.
Okay.
You're afraid you're going to make a mistake?
No, there's no right or wrong way, but like.
And if somebody has something that you have found you just really like to do,
yeah,
when you're in those school visits.
Well, I also wonder if that might be helpful to get input from the administrators about what they like to mm-hmm. see in those visits as well. Because maybe they're like, oh, when board member so-and-so comes, they stay for 5 hours and I don't have time for that. Or you know, so-and-so doesn't give me the time of day, you know. Or like
I usually contact the principal for an appointment, and I'm like, did they just sit down and talk to, you know,
uh-huh.
you last month for an hour about the same stuff? Or, you know, maybe would the time be better spent doing something that,
yes,
that didn't get done last month or the month before?
Yes.
Or,
am I being redundant? Is this a waste of your time?
Waste of their time every month.
We want to be helpful. We want to make sure we're being helpful, yeah, and not. And that's why I always ask, how can we help?
Help and
what do you need?
I will take that assignment on to actually get some input from administrators and
I like that.
Superintendent can help me, and then we'll put something together that before we say this is what's going in the handbook, we'll let everybody look at that.
Okay? Just some suggestions or
mm-hmm. Mandy's point, sometimes it depends on the day too. I try not to stay much more than an hour. So
right.
If I visit with the principal, I like to visit my personal end, the lunch ladies, and I like to talk mm-hmm. to the custodians. I like to talk
that.
To all the employees of the district. Like, you know, sneak in the classroom. I like to get the heartbeat of the whole building.
Yeah.
And not just on one thing.
Absolutely.
And sometimes I know that when the principals are here on a Tuesday or for a meeting or something, I will visit that school just to see what the heartbeat is when that's there. And then I make an appointment, I go back and see them.
And everyone knows who you are.
We talked
I'm
about
still
that.
Introducing myself out of like, oh, it's good to be here. And who are you again? And why are you here? And
okay, so let me mention, I'm just going to mention, because we need a 5-minute break before we start our meeting. Let me mention the other two things to be thinking about, and we'll talk more about these when we meet again. One is some kind of positive social media that I guess is straight from the district, as far as this is, this is the bottom line from the district. So be thinking about that. And then constituent communication. How do we reach out to constituents? How do board members have that communication with constituents? So be thinking about those, and then we'll talk more about those next time. Is there anything that we need to just, does anybody have any comments or things we need to wrap up before we take a 5-minute break?
Mm-mm. That's great.
Okay. Thank you, and we'll break for 5 minutes, and then we'll be back at 5 o'clock for regular board meetings.
You wanted to send him, but where do we want this?
Am I in the refrigerated spot?
It was delicious, Gary.
You're lucky, you're not.
This was very good.
I have to set it by.
Let's just take it.
I had to do the same, I had to get off the table already.
In fact, you know what?
And so then we're gonna add another one.